This is Welcome to the Table with Pastor Keith Robinson, a ministry of Mesa Church. Life can leave us feeling hurried, overlooked, or even unworthy, but the good news is this: Jesus invites us to his table. At his table, every story matters, and there's always a seat for you. Each week on this program, Pastor Keith opens God's Word with practical teaching and timeless truth. Wherever you're listening from today, we're glad you're here and pray you experience the hope only Christ can give. This is Welcome to the Table with Pastor Keith Robinson.
And today's key text comes from a passage of scripture in the book of Genesis, chapter 50 and verse 20. So I'm going to invite us all to read it aloud together. Let's begin. "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We ask that you would add your blessings to the reading of your word, and that you would speak to our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want to talk to you for the next few moments from a message entitled, "Who Hurt You?" Who hurt you? The idea of who hurt you is often said after someone is triggered or has an outburst. You'll ask them the question, "Who hurt you?" So today's message, "Who Hurt You?" we're going to see three truths for today in this story about a man by the name of Joseph. So truth number one for today is, what you hold on to will eventually hold on to you. What you hold on to will eventually hold on to you. Number two, second truth for today, God's hand is often hidden in what feels hurtful. God's hand is often hidden in what feels hurtful. In other words, we may not see it when the hurt occurs, but God's hand is always at work, even in our pain and what feels hurtful. The third truth for today that we're going to see in this message, "Who Hurt You?" is this: forgiveness is not about letting someone off the hook. It's allowing God to be a just judge. Oftentimes we think about forgiveness and we think, well, that means I have to let this person get away with what they did to me. But what we're going to see in the truth of scripture today is that forgiveness isn't about letting someone off the hook. It's allowing God to be a just judge. So the bottom line for today's message up front, here's the bottom line: forgotten grace causes unforgiving living. Forgotten grace causes unforgiving living. Now, before we pick up the story today in Genesis chapter 43, and if you have your Bibles, you are welcome to turn there with me. We'll have the verses on the screen in just a moment. But for those who are following along in Genesis chapter 43, when we come to this story, we need to remember where the character that we're going to be talking about today, Joseph, where he's come from, where he's been. You see, Joseph is this man who has an incredible backstory. In fact, he was once a boy who dreamed of greatness and was hated for it. If you've ever read Joseph's story, you'll remember that for Joseph, he was favored by his father. In fact, so much so that his brothers became envious of him, even at a young age. Joseph found favor with his father, and his father favored him so much, in fact, that he gave Joseph a coat of many colors, which again was symbolic of the father's favor on Joseph's life over his brothers, and so he was hated for it. But not only that, this boy Joseph was also a dreamer, and Joseph had a dream once as a young man, and he saw in that dream that one day that he would be at the top of the world and that others would be bowing down to him. Now, Joseph made the foolish decision of actually sharing that information with his brothers, and you can imagine how well your brother would respond to that. And so his brothers were jealous, and they were angry at Joseph and the favor that he had with his father, and also this idea that he was a great dreamer. And so Joseph was one day, when he was still a young man, betrayed by his brothers by being sold into slavery. He was falsely accused, and eventually he was even forgotten in prison. Joseph's story is a story of heartbreak and betrayal. And yet, it's more than that, because through every injustice that Joseph endured, God's hand was quietly at work. And now we come to this story in Genesis chapter 43, decades later, after Joseph had been sold into slavery, his brothers were willing to leave him for dead. And one of the brothers argued, well, maybe we just sell him into slavery. So that was his consolation prize from his brothers. And so Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt. And after a time of being in Egypt in slavery, he began to work his way up in the house of one of the governors in Egypt at the time named Potiphar. And as time went on, he earned more and more favor with Potiphar, even though he was essentially a slave, to the point that he began to run Potiphar's house. But one day, Potiphar's wife accused Joseph falsely of being inappropriate toward her. Potiphar, being angry and believing his wife, threw Joseph in prison. And Joseph endured prison for many, many years. But even in prison, God gave Joseph favor with others. And in fact, Joseph interpreted someone's dream and helped them to actually get out of prison. And when that person had gotten out of prison and placed into the king's court, that person forgot Joseph and the good that Joseph had done for him. And so Joseph has been forsaken, he's been forgotten, and he's been wounded by the people that should have cared about him the most. And now we come to Genesis chapter 43, and decades after all of this has happened to him, famine has now broke out in the then known world. And his brothers, Joseph's brothers, who are all still living, they were sent to Egypt by their father to come in search for food. And without realizing it, they end up in the very presence of the brother that they had betrayed, because Joseph, in another dream, God had given him wisdom to help save the world from this famine by storing grain in Egypt. So his brothers and father, who were still in the land of Canaan, his father sent his brothers to come and to get grain in Egypt. But they had no idea that that quest would land them in the very presence again of the brother that they had betrayed years before. Now, this dreamer, Joseph, has become a governor. They betrayed him, and yet now he is blessed. And in one of the most dramatic reversals in Scripture, God is about to use a dinner table of all things to expose old wounds, to reveal divine purpose, and to restore what sin had destroyed. So, point number one in your notes today, point number one, the table exposes our hidden hurts. The table exposes our hidden hurts. Genesis chapter 43, we're going to start in verse 30, where we pick up the story. Joseph's brothers have now come to Egypt. They don't know that Joseph is the one that they've been brought in front of. They don't realize it's him. But Joseph knows immediately these are his brothers. And so in verse 30 of Genesis 43, it says that deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Can I tell you that even as we begin reading this story today, what I love about this is it doesn't hide the hurt or the pain. In fact, Joseph, it says, he had to look for a place to weep. Sometimes forgiveness means doing it through the tears. It means working through the pain, the disappointment, and the hurt that you endured. And what we see in Joseph is Joseph actually goes through a process of healing through the tears. So he goes into his private room and he weeps there. And after he had washed his face, he came out and, controlling himself, said, "Serve the food." Now, to me, that sounds like any other man that I know. He goes in, he washes his face, he comes out, gains control of himself, and he says, "Serve the food." So they served him by himself, the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews, for that is detestable to the Egyptians. The men, Joseph's brothers, had been seated before him in the order of their ages from the firstborn to the youngest, and they looked at each other in astonishment. Verse 34, when portions were served to them from Joseph's table, Benjamin's portion was five times as much as anyone else's. So they feasted and drank freely with him. So Joseph is brought into a proximity to his brothers that he had not experienced in many years. They are now standing before Joseph, and they don't know who he is. They've forgotten about their brother, but Joseph remembers, because every day that he's lived since they sold him into slavery, his whole life has been turned upside down. And now as his brothers stand before them, he weeps, and we see something really significant here that I don't want us to miss, and it's this, is that proximity will often resurface what we tried to forget. Have you noticed that? That proximity to certain events, places, people, sounds, or sights can resurface old wounds, things that we tried to forget about. With the holidays soon approaching and coming up, it's a time of year where often proximity to certain people or certain memories will cause us to think back on unpleasant times. It hurt us, it wounded us. I mean, it's sort of like when you're in a supermarket and all of a sudden you hear a song on the radio and it takes you back to like a junior high dance. You know, like songs and smells and sights oftentimes can, in proximity of those, they can bring us back to memories. And sometimes those memories are not very pleasant. And what Joseph can't control is when he gets close to his brothers in proximity, he just begins to weep. And yet, here's the truth in this. God wanted Joseph to face what had hurt him all those years before. It would have been easier to live life and just try to forget. But here's the truth. God can't heal what we won't reveal. So the exposing of this hurt in Joseph was God's desire, because God wanted to heal what Joseph did not want to reveal. And the same is true in our lives. One of the other things that we tend to think of when we think about our wounds is, how do we deal with them? How do we treat our wounds? Well, you tell me if this is true or not. Here's how I believe that we treat our wounds. We will treat them by either we nurse them, we rehearse them, or we curse them. We treat our wounds in one of three ways. We either nurse them, rehearse them, or curse them. Now, let's unpack each of these for just a moment. I mean, think about how we nurse our wounds, how we tend to them. Oftentimes, one of the ways that we do this is through self-medication. We find a substance, a means by which we can sort of alleviate the pain that we're experiencing. We nurse them through self-medication, whether it's in the bottle or it's in drugs or it's in some other form of illicit behavior, that we begin to try to self-medicate and comfort ourselves from the wounds that we've experienced. Years ago, when I was in my early 30s, I saw a Christian therapist and counselor. And one of the things that I learned through that process is that oftentimes when we are wounded from the past, we will use an illegitimate source to meet a legitimate need. So in other words, we have a legitimate need for peace and for comfort and for serenity in our life. And yet, because of the wound of the past, we will sometimes use an illegitimate source to meet that legitimate need. So we like to nurse our wounds, but it doesn't help us heal. The second thing we like to do is we like to rehearse them. You know, how many times will we tell the old story? I want to encourage you even this week to take inventory of your conversation and how you speak of the past and of others, because oftentimes we are rehearsing old wounds, things that happened to us in the past that left an indelible impression on us and we can't seem to get over it. So we rehearse them again and again and again. And maybe that loop is playing over and over in your mind today because you've been rehearsing them. And then finally, with our wounds, we curse them. We look at them as though they are ugly, something that we don't want to face, something we would rather not even think about. So when they come up, we curse our wounds. But what if I told you today that we don't have to nurse them or rehearse them or curse them any longer? What if I told you that God wants to reverse them instead. God wants to reverse them instead. And that's what we see in the life of Joseph. Now, this week I did a little research and I found that there was a corollary medically between unforgiveness and blood pressure levels and stress levels. So I found this was interesting. There's a few medical journals. If you're interested in these resources and the source material for them, feel free to email me and I will send you the source material for this. But here's a couple of studies and what they found in the corollary between forgiveness and lower blood pressure. A study found that forgiveness is linked to lower baseline blood pressure and faster blood pressure recovery after stress. Forgiveness does that. And what that suggests to us is that holding grudges exerts a physical toll while forgiveness helps the body calm down. So here are the benefits of forgiveness. Another study found this. There are actual benefits of forgiveness. A research cited by Johns Hopkins found that forgiveness benefits include better heart health, lower levels of anxiety, and less depression. They found that forgiveness can actually reduce the risk of heart attacks, improve cholesterol levels, lower our blood pressure, and reduce anxiety, depression, and stress. In short, letting go isn't just spiritual, it's physiological. A third study found that there was a connection between unforgiveness and cardiovascular reactivity. And it's based on this idea of ruminating on the past, on the wound. Studies indicate that unforgiveness and rumination toward an offender actually escalates cardiovascular reactivity during the recall of that event, whereas forgiveness will calm the response, even during recovery periods. That means when we keep reliving the hurt, our body stays in a state of constant stress and anxiety. And maybe you find yourself there today in a constant state of stress and anxiety because of the wounds of the past. I want you to take heart and take courage today, because the same God who helped Joseph through his tears will help you through yours as well. And the second truth that we see for today is that the table not only exposes our hidden hurts, but the table will often shift our focus from our pain to his purpose. The table shifts our focus from our pain to his purpose. We're going to go over a couple chapters in Genesis chapter 45, starting in verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself. So he's there with his brothers in the room. They don't know it's him, but he knows it's them. And Joseph can no longer control himself. And so before all of his attendants, he cried out, "Have everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. Verse 2. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Wouldn't you be? Verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." I want you to notice that little phrase. Joseph, in his pain, now reunited with his brothers. He could have done anything he wanted to with them. Joseph is essentially the prime minister of Egypt at this point. And what does he say? "Come close to me." And when they had done so, he said, "I am your brother, Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now, there's been famine in the land. And for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Verse 8. "So then, it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all of Egypt." What a perspective. You see, the table will shift our focus from our pain to his purpose. And we see this in Joseph's life and in this story. Now, I've heard it said before, and maybe you have too, that bitterness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. So often, we hold on to what hurt us while the other person who offended us or who wounded us isn't even thinking about it. And that may cause even more levels of distress, but when we hold on to it, it's actually not hurting them. It's only hurting who? Us. It's hurting us. And so bitterness is like drinking the poison and expecting the other person to die. And so what can we learn from Joseph's story? Holding on to his bitterness wasn't going to punish his brothers. Joseph did something very profound that I think all of us listening to this can really learn from. And it's this point. Joseph did something profound, and we can too. And it's this. We can assign meaning to the pain. Assign meaning to your pain. What I loved is that Joseph could have blamed his brothers for everything, but he assigned a deeper meaning to his pain. He says, "It was not you who sent me here, but God." What a perspective. Now, as humans, we are the only creatures on the planet that can do this, that we can assign meaning to anything we want. We can assign meaning to relationships. We can assign meaning to what we wear. We can assign meaning to who we date. We can assign meaning to all sorts of things. But what if we started to assign meaning to the pain? That's what Joseph did. And by that, he was able to integrate that painful experience into the broader story that God was writing. And for you, the same potential exists, that the pain that you've experienced actually has a greater meaning, and that it was a part of your story, as painful as it was. And even though you would have rather not lived it, now it's become a part of who you are. And like Joseph, we can say, "It was not man who sent me here to walk through this, but God." It's not that God caused it, or even really that God allowed it. Sometimes people just take matters into their own hands. But what do we find about Joseph is he's seeing through the pain and seeing potential and seeing purpose. Can I tell you that Joseph also teaches us that what happened to you is not near as important as what God wants to do in you? I want you to believe that today, that what has happened to you is not nearly as important as what God wants to do in you. What Joseph went through, as painful as it was, paled in comparison to how God was going to use Joseph to save many lives. And that brings us to our third and final point today, and that is that the table gives us courage to reconcile rather than retaliate. The table gives us courage to reconcile rather than retaliate. You see, forgiveness doesn't excuse what happened. It frees us from the torment of reliving it again and again. And I say this with compassion in my heart because I know that there are those who are watching, who are listening to this, and you have been hurt. And it's not made up. It's real. And forgiveness isn't about excusing what happened. Forgiveness is a gift that God wants to give you so that you can be free from the torment of having to relive that pain again and again. Think about the person who harmed you or hurt you. They may have stolen a minute, a day, a week, a month, a year, or even years of your life, but why would you let them steal anymore? What they took from you in a moment, you can begin to release that to God so that you don't have to carry that torment around with you like a heavy burden and relive it again and again. The table gives us courage to reconcile rather than retaliate. I mean, when I think about Joseph and I think about what he could have done to his brothers, it's amazing to me. Like, if those were my brothers and they had done that to me, like, what would I have done? Like, maybe bring them in and pull their fingernails off. I don't know. No, that's terrible. That's terrible. But what would I have done to someone who did that to me? What would we do? What do we see, though, in Joseph? As Joseph believes something that I think is so important and so powerful, and it's this, it's God's justice is greater than man's injustice. God's justice is greater than man's injustice. We're going to read Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 through 21. And we see this really a crescendo of everything that has happened. Joseph's father has now passed away. And his brothers are worried, is he going to retaliate now after dad's gone? I mean, he welcomed us to the table in Egypt when dad was alive, but now that dad's gone, will he welcome us the same? And look at what happens in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 50. But Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Wow. He understood that God's justice is greater than man's injustice. He did not hold a grudge. He did not retaliate. He chose instead to reconcile. And it was based on this idea in verse 19. Am I in the place of God? You see, when we hold on to the bitterness and the unforgiveness, we set ourselves up as the righteous judge. And what that does is it takes God's place. Look at what Joseph said. Am I in the place of God? When you understand that God's justice is greater than man's injustice, you can forgive. And then we can take heart in this fact that what others did to break you, God will use to build you.
You've been listening to Welcome to the Table with Pastor Keith Robinson. Welcome to the Table is a ministry of Mesa Church in Irvine, California. We're glad you joined us today, and we pray that this message encouraged you to follow Jesus and experience His peace, which surpasses all understanding. At the table, there's always a place for you as you discover the life and hope found in Christ and Christ alone. This program is made possible thanks to the support of listeners like you. To learn more or to partner with us in sharing God's Word, visit mesa.church. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us again next time for Welcome to the Table.